Watch me.
Wow.
That is not true. It's impossible. It can't be done. It's never been done.
I was hanging out with my close friend, Valtteri Bottas.
Ooh, that's one. I mean, do we have to know the name drops for them to count as name drops? Because I don't know who that is.
Isn't it more hipster if you don't, right?
Exactly. Some of these names are so European and already fancy sounding that I'm impressed just because I can't pronounce them.
Pablo is the name drop king, but apparently I did notice that next to people with weird hair, your hair dominating other people's hair.
Listen, I'll tell you, I got the full Morrissey 1986 by the end. Like, the humidity just kept taking it higher and higher. Yeah, I had some good hot weather goth hair by the time it was done.
Hi, Spencer, how are you feeling, by the way? So you're back from Miami. You were doing F1 duty. You were in the paddock, right? That's what they call it. You were sort of roving around, and you don't seem hungover to me.
No, I was very, very careful about this because I understand South Florida will beat you down. Okay, South Florida will beat you down. I know we're going to talk plenty about the literal and figurative Miami Heat, but we were there on Wednesday.
And they're beat down, yep.
Hydrate, sunscreen, pace yourself. Pace yourself. Gary Streisky was on set with them. I love it. He was so excited. And when you get that excited and enthusiastic about things, sometimes you got to go hang out in the truck for a second because it gets too hot.
I got
to
say.
You went from Vegas to Miami. It's a lot. So a man of your... very young age. That's a lot to ask.
Anyway. It's a lot to ask. I object to you name dropping Gary because Gary's nickname on certain group chats that I'm on is Hablo, which is Hot Pablo. And that's something that I really just haven't really gotten over yet because he is objectively like just he's jacked.
Listen,
Jablo also.
Bro, he is hot. I see Alistair hitting the time there. But yeah, Gary's a very handsome man. By the way, the people's choice, by the way. Every time we went by anybody who worked at the track, they're like, Gary!
God. Alabaster, can we get to the thing that me, the true, the real, the one and only Highlander Pablo is here to talk about today?
I mean, I'd really love to know what Gary thinks about this topic, but I guess I'll settle for you. And our first question.
Stupid hot, Gary.
So hot. Who has the upper hand at this point in the Heat 76ers series?
You see where this hand is? You see it? Can't even see it anymore. That's how upper this hand is. It's so upper. I felt great. I was emotional, honestly. My hormones were kind of... It felt like I was on a plane watching Coco a little bit.
Before we go too deep, I'm sorry to cut you off. The plane Coco line, I loved it. Because people cry on planes. It's emotional. The altitude, something. Coco make you cry anywhere. I got it. It was awesome. But I was trying to remember the last time the 76ers had you feeling this good was early in the first round. And I was trying to remember exactly what you said. Do you remember exactly what you said after that game?
Yeah, I mean, this has now one-upped it, but I said then during the Raptors series that I had never had more fun being a Sixers fan.
I think there was
it
also
had never
something...
been easier, never felt better.
Yes, oh, it was something about feeling like stress-free at halftime. Okay, I just wanted I wanted to get some context
but
prepare. Since we are talking upper hand, I'm waiting for you to one up that with some more ridiculous confidence.
Yeah, so obviously after I said that, Embiid tears a ligament in his thumb, breaks his face, and here he is back. And I love, I don't know if you guys do this on YouTube, but I love watching audience reaction videos to things. And this game, to continue the cinematic metaphor here, moving away from Coco, this felt like the portal scene in Avengers Endgame for me. It was like, oh my God, James Harden's alive and he's here to save us. And the entire city of Philadelphia is like happy, crying, freaking out.
Except for that guy asleep in the front row. That guy
the dude who was asleep. The king in his own way. But that's how this felt. And I say this with all of the knowledge that there are many reasons to think that the upper hand will, you know, descend and then just slap me in the face as it did with the Embiid injuries. But the fact that James Harden had 31, 16 in the fourth quarter, four of his 6 3-pointers were in the fourth quarter. He wasn't exactly what he used to be, but he is alive and here to save me.
You remember
and
when Thor
I
was fat?
It.
Remember fat Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just asking. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I was just wondering. As you were talking about people walking through portals, I was imagining who could come through portals. And I remember Thor was really fat, and he was like living
out Ragnarok in the... Thor is the best Thor, you could argue.
Yeah, James Harden and Ragnarok Thor. Some similarities.
Oh, gosh.
But so this sexy. Was, we had not seen this, guys. We had not seen this. I mean, we've been waiting for this. The entire fetish that Daryl Morey has for this. Yes. Finn James Harden for the podcast audience. We pivoted to very leaf thin, skillful James Harden. This is what I've been waiting for. And Embiid, you watched him watch James Harden again. He's in the audience too for this. You could tell, like, finally.
I have to admit that I didn't expect to have this feeling, but like, I felt good for James Harden. Like, it seemed the way he was yelling and just like gesturing to the crowd, it felt like how we were saying he's the one player who really doesn't hear the noise. It was clear to me that he had been hearing the noise, and it felt good to get everybody off his back for a couple minutes. And it was like cathartic for me. I didn't know that I was harboring some like empathy for James Harden, but apparently I found myself rooting for him to hit another shot. But I think we should calm it down on how good
scrappy underdog Dominique is. A scrappy underdog now. You felt that. You felt David. You felt the David versus Goliath dynamic with James Harden. Why are you trying to sour this now? Why do you got to do anything else but celebrate that?
I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize. Spencer,
I'm going to level it for you. Okay. All right. Because you know who's leveling all this? That's correct. James Harden, right? The original Noble Gas basketball player who is just the same in every environment. Yeah. Because, thank you. You saw where I was going here, okay? We're all saying, wow, James Harden, an efficient shooter, team player, improved. What did Harden say after the game? Nothing really changed. I just made some shots. That's it. Same day, same business. Nothing changes for James Harden, all right? Only this, I think he passed a playoff three curse the other way. I think he passed it to the Heat because they're shooting like heavily overtaxed 2016-17 James Harden and like his massive usage rate, because that's how bad they are from distance right now.
Jimmy Butler's got to be sick too, because like quietly he's having one of the best playoff series, or not series, playoffs all around of anybody who's left. And nobody else really showed up yesterday to help him out in the way that he wanted to. Like, Bam was in foul trouble. Lowry seemed like he didn't want to shoot at all because I guess his hamstring was messed up. But boy, is he an artist. And I was going to say drawing fouls, but like creating fouls. Like, that is his major contribution to the team, which I guess is nice to find a way to contribute.
What a euphemism, Dominique. What a euphemism for flopping everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll try to be positive.
Artisanal foul creation. He's great at small batch free throws.
I think flopping sounds sloppy. It doesn't sound skillful. But yes, he is small batch free throws. He makes them out of nothing all the time. And it's nice. And it gets them into a penalty sooner. And that's helpful, I guess. But I think Jimmy Butler would much rather him shoot a layup when he's standing next to the rim. But he doesn't want to do that either.
No. Look, I mean, Jimmy Butler had 40, right? I mean, he's been playing out of his mind. Earlier, another quote from me earlier this season is that he's a worse shooter than Russell Westbrook, which is statistically accurate. But here he is making me look stupid in that way. He's been excellent. I believe 10 of 12 from the free throw line, 13 of 20 from the floor. And the Heat, to Spencer's point, 7 of 35 from three. They have missed like a super majority of their three-pointers in this series. It's embarrassing. And Alabaster, I don't know. I feel great, man. Embiid didn't even score in the fourth quarter, right? But you already saw how that man in his mask, everything, the gravitational field on the floor changes when he's around. Everything is opened up. Not a coincidence, by the way. Danny Green was awesome from three. James Harden was awesome from three. George's Niang was awesome from three, because the guy who is not named DeAndre Jordan, who has played 0 minutes in two games, coincidence?
No, yeah, get him some minutes, man. Let's work him in, Pablo. Let's
he has some stuff on his knees, which I assume wasn't ice, because like you wouldn't put ice on your knees if you were planning to go into the game. But DeAndre Jordan had some sort of apparatuses on both his knees, and he never went in. I was very confused. I was like, is that like heat packs? Is he going to play at some point?
Looking
I don't know.
Creeping in.
I do want to – oh, yeah.
I like the idea that Doc wanted to play DeAndre Jordan now. I didn't see those ice packs, but just couldn't because he actually couldn't play. If that's the reality, it's kind of perfect, honestly, as to how this series is going now.
Can we take a second to, I mean, today Jokic won the MVP, so we should celebrate that. But we should also take a second to talk about how amazing Joel Embiid is. Like, yes. When he stepped out on the perimeter and guarded Victor Oladipo and kept poking the ball away, it was I don't know. It was kind of erotic. I can only speak for myself, but I was watching that. And
it's incredibly incredibly hard to do that. It is.
It is very difficult.
Feel that way.
That's a lot of positivity. I'm going to pick up Dominique's usual labor of being a hater by going ahead and pointing to this lovely BAM stat here, which is that games 3 and 4, we got 15 a game and 52 shooting after shooting the lights out. Mm-hmm. In 1 and 2. So again, I appreciate all of the praise to Joel Embiid, who's basically like stationing two people in the middle every single time he's out there. And that's before you actually mentioned that he's astonishingly agile on defense. It's not like you're just trying to shoot over him. No, he's an octopus, right? Like, it's just eight arms everywhere. But the Heat can't continue to shoot this badly, right? I feel like the same thing. Thank you. Where did you get it?
We got everything. We got everything.
Every fetish we have little toy for.
No. It's only midday, Pablo.
Eject. Eject.
Meat Sack Monday, guys.
I think that's fair. Bam was in foul trouble also. All these things cannot go well. And I would say that James Harden, I think he's probably right. Like, nothing really changed. He just made more shots. You know, like, when I watching the game, like, he wasn't getting by people the way that you would need. Like, he's not vintage James Harden. So
no, that's
true. Let's not get carried away. And if we
that's
are
true.
Doing, like, some sort of analysis, regression analysis on what impacted the game more, was it James Harden returning to some sort of good form or the struggles of the Miami Heat, like, to hit open shots? I think I would look at the Heat struggles more than I would look at James Harden elevating his play.
But the isolation of the variable of defense versus James Harden, and the isolation, by the way, of James Harden himself, right? Because he wasn't, Dominique, to your point, he wasn't just ISO James, Houston Rocket James, right? He was not beating people off the dribble. He only took 18 shots, right? Like, the version of him that stepped out of the portal in my brain is not the version that was disappeared for however long it's been. Alabaster, I mean, James Harden's vertical leap is plausibly between like 2 to 8 inches right now. Like, he's ground bound, right? He's a shooter. He's not a driver in the way that we remember. That's
right.
True.
And I think there's some interesting things about this. Of course, Harden was still getting to the free throw line, even though he's no longer a driver the way he was. But what I find interesting about this whole thing is the Heat won game 3 when James Harden was still kind of bad and Embiid was much rustier, but his gravitational pull of Embiid and his defensive part was amazing. My question is, how do the Heat adjust to this? Are they going to play Duncan Robinson here at
the
same
lost
time?
Game 3,
the...
right?
Yeah, I'm saying the Sixers
the Heat
won.
Lost game 3.
The Sixers won.
Heat, okay, I got it.
Well, the Heat scored 79 points in game 3, too. Like, the constipation of the offense. Like, they don't like the three-pointer, obviously, at this point. They have a tortured relationship with it. But Duncan Robinson is just a very – what did he make, Alabaster? What's his contract? It's like $70-something million dollars or so?
90.
Don't undersell it. Sorry. 90 million dollars for Duncan Robinson to not get off the bench. I wonder,
the dream.
To play him because you're just that – you're that desperate. It is
that
dream.
Is the dream.
The dream, baby.
It's you're in a bad place if you think Duncan Robinson is going to save you in this series. I think they should continue with what they've been doing because Duncan Robinson's issue is on defense. And I guess he's also not like dead eye enough a shooter. Like, it feels like they don't have enough confidence in him to like withstand the defensive liability. So I wouldn't mind seeing Duncan Robinson play more minutes, but like, I don't think that's a real solution. I don't think that Spoelstra's sleeping well at night because somebody texted him like, hey, give Duncan some minutes. Like, that is a...
Duncan Robinson walking out of that portal, not necessarily the same emotional lift.
He's just doing the Abe Simpson. He's walking out of the portal, turning around, coming right back in.
The good news is the series hasn't started yet, as we all know.
Dominique, what if the series never starts?
Oh, if the series never starts.
Right? Like, you need a road team to win.
We've had that at some point. A series that never starts, this feels like some sort of, like, moral conundrum that no one can ever figure out.
Schrodinger series, I believe. Yeah.
That damn cat. Is it alive or dead? I don't know.
A metaphor.
Good question. Speaking of something that we're not sure if is alive or dead, Chris Paul and the way he's playing basketball.
That's a good segment.
Our question, how do you see the rest of the Suns Mavericks series going if Chris Paul continues to struggle?
My favorite part of what happened to Chris Paul yesterday. So basically, by the way, Chris Paul turned 37 on the day of game three, has been just utter trash ever since then. He had the worst game of his life.
That's his warranty. Game three. It's right there. It's on the warranty.
And here it is, the warranty expiring, fouling out in 23 minutes, finishing with more fouls than points for the first time ever. He had 4 fouls in the first half. Got fouled out on a BS call, admittedly, trying to guard Jalen Brunson along the baseline for number 6. But it's kind of delicious to watch the Mavericks flop Chris Paul out of a playoff. It's just beautiful. It's poetry.
Oh, can we define irony?
Yeah.
Do you need to define irony?
It looks like Chris Paul walking off, being like, oh no, actually it sounds like what Jason Kidd, the head coach of the Mavericks, said post game, where he basically said in no uncertain subtweety terms, we learn from the best. Yeah. We learn from the best in Chris Paul. One of the best point guards ever, he said, taught us how to do what we did today, which is just like, we learned it from you, Dad. And they did. Just incredible.
Such a classic old reference that I think it's too old for us, but we heard it enough when we were young. Like, I didn't grow up with that commercial, but I remember hearing about the commercial that no one else knows about. But
I don't even know it came from a commercial.
Yeah, you know, it's like a drug commercial, I think. Like a dad walks in,
and
his son, like, trying to roll up some weed or something, and like, I learned from you, Dad.
Yeah, that poor actor, by the way, like, every single time he's typecast, they're like, so we need a negligent father, and you're the guy from that ad, so we're just going to get a negligent dad here, right? I have this, by the way. We've talked a little bit about this already, but I love tuning into a playoff game and seeing what I want to see when I see NBA basketball, which is fouls being called 26 seconds into a game. Love it. Love it. I want to know who the guys in gray are. I want to get these athletes out of the way and focus on the most talented, compelling people on the floor. That's right. NBA officials who I shouldn't know the name of. That's really what I love in sports. And that's the thing I love most about the NBA playoffs. Officiating.
We talk so much about Scott Foster and his negative record, or Chris Paul's negative record with Scott Foster. Like, I want to know who the refs like. Who's out here getting excited when Scott Foster shows up? Who's out here cooking when, I don't know, Brothers comes to town? Like, I want to know who's excited for these referees, because they can't be bad for everybody. Both teams can't lose every time they show up. Let's get another investigation to add to our list, Pablo. We'll get
Alabaster on the Big Tony Brothers database.
Just for future shows, I feel like I've come up with like 4 or 5 investigations. We need to keep this running list that I want people to dive into at some point.
Oh, that reminds me, on the subject of officiating, Dominique called a technical foul on me last week mid-show. We should be calling our own fouls, by the way. We should be the refs on this show as well. This is a standing policy on all of this.
I like that.
But this game in particular,
your hair. I don't like the way it's flopping today.
I know. I came out of the shower real.
You got a little bit flopping. You got a little bit of an ocean spray wave there, man. Yeah, you got a little logo going up there.
It's still wet. I mean, I'm one to just talk. Just real wet.
Yeah. No, your hair is perfect. It's outstanding. I saw you go hair for hair with a lot of people in Miami, and you were the underdog.
Who was your favorite celeb, Spencer?
And you cooked them. Well done.
Who is your favorite celeb in Miami?
Follicle.
Prepare for the name drops, baby, because they are coming. These are going to be super Olympic strength name drops. Favorite celebrities I saw. Let's see. I did not end up. I saw him at a distance. Francois Bourgeois, who is the TikTok guy who is a train spotter in Britain, right?
Oh,
yes. He gave a helmet to a driver at one point.
The guy. Wait, hold on. This is a guy who's just very excited about training.
I love that guy. Yeah, love him.
Thing. That's his whole thing, right? Dominique is looking at me like I have horns coming out of my head. This man is a legend. Okay, I will learn you up on him. I saw you. David Beckham. David Beckham is impossibly tan and tatted up. I saw a portrait behind him, Victoria Beckham, as well. I did manage to see Sir Jackie Stewart, which is like seeing a little slice of history walk past you in a sponsored Heineken shirt.
Wait, we're both very blankly looking at you when you name drop Sir Jackie Stewart.
Sir Jackie Stewart, F1 champion legend. Okay, that's all you need to know. Obviously. Like from the 70s, from the 20th century. Okay,
Dominique, these name drops are getting worse.
Who else was there?
I'm sorry.
LeBron James was there. Michael Jordan was there. Tom Brady was there. Like anyone cares, you know, because you don't have to care about Tom
was
Brady.
There. I saw that. People thought he was.
We gotta say a bit. Hold on. We gotta say.
I walked right past Michelle Obama. She just like I walked
what?
Past. Yeah, and there was that delay thing.
She went high and you went low. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No. Like past me. And I thought for a second, that can't be Michelle Obama. And then I hear somebody go, Michelle! And I was like, well, that's...
Yeah, I need to have a talk with Secret Service. Like, no disrespect, Spencer, but... I mean,
if I got that close...
I know, if this man gets that close to Michelle Obama, someone's service ain't all that secret.
Amazing, amazing what you can get with the credential, y'all. Saw that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is there. There's some confusion about exactly who Patrick Mahomes is, which we'll get to.
Love that one.
But yes, like...
We got to it, Paulo. Stop saying we're going to get to it. We got to it. You said it twice now.
One more. WWE legend, Bad Bunny. WWE legend, Bad Bunny was there.
New album's great.
I was legit excited to see him because that man executed a Canadian destroyer on concrete. I will respect him forever.
I'm supposed to know what that is? Never mind. I don't want to know. What do you got, Alabaster?
Alabaster is demanding that we drop his name here, so what?
I think it's time we just jump to this F1 question. And we'll come back to the playoffs. We'll come back to the NBA,
we'll get back. There's a lot to get to.
There's a lot to get to. So, we got a couple of tapes for you to look at here. But our question, what are the chances that Martin Brundle crushed his interviews at the Miami Grand Prix?
Martin Brundle is a great name.
Martin Brundle, Formula One television in England. I don't think you can hear me up there. Patrick, how are you? Good, good to see you on the grid here. What do you think of this atmosphere?
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself. But real focus.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paulo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else. So I'm sorry about that. Whatever.
Oh god, it's so uncomfortable.
Nailed it, man.
I want to
whatever
a word of apology, like a word of understanding here for Martin Brundle. They take this man who is he knows F1 backwards and forwards, and then they throw him week after week onto the grid in multiple countries, sometimes not even knowing what time zone he's in. And they say, go interview these celebrities who are very context dependent. Not everyone's famous everywhere, okay? You'll remember last year at Austin, he walked up to Megan Thee Stallion and said, do you have any raps
that
for us
was
today?
Him.
That was, yes, that was him.
Just at least he knew she was. I'm assuming he knew who she was. Maybe he thought he was, I don't know, Foxy Brown?
You know who didn't know who Martin Brundle was? The bodyguard of Megan Thee Stallion.
All right. Way better Secret Service than Michelle Obama's, incidentally.
Way better, yeah. So Martin Brundle's going to make some... Like, he's in an impossible situation where every week he meets somebody and he's like, you seem famous.
I want to know, did he figure it out or did someone tell him? Because it seemed like midway through, it was in the air. Somebody was like, hey, another fair-skinned minority.
Mm-hmm. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's only somebody who looks like they tried to have Patrick Mahomes at a theme park but couldn't hire Patrick Mahomes.
I imagine it's somebody in the booth who's very British who's like, Martin, we're at sixes and sevens here. We've made a total hash of this. You know, like...
What do you do, by the way, as the hash is being made? Like, the impossibility of the scenario, Spencer. It is most impossible for Paolo Banchero, right? Duke basketball star, future lottery pick. Like, what do you do there if you're him? In my opinion, you just got to pretend that you're Patrick Mahomes. That's the only way out of that.
I thought he was real nice. He was like, I think he had sympathy for Martin Brundle. Like, hey, man. You know, you can't know who all of us are. There's a lot of American celebs out here, right?
Also, it's nothing worse than who are you? That's a question that us three, like, D-list celebrities would hate. I know I hate it. It happens to me far more often than it should, where people are like, I know you.
Israel Gutierrez is what I get a lot. Like, ooh, so close.
I just hang in there and get it all. Like, I don't know. You look like we went to high school together. Where are you from?
You look like Gary Streisky, but not hot.
It's so uncomfortable.
Oh, I got this a couple of times.
You look like Gary Streisky before the Super Soldier serum. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that is kind of my.
So I got this a couple of times in the paddock, because the paddock is where they're bringing everyone through, and everyone comes in and takes pictures, and, you know, there's a lot of kerfuffle when somebody comes through. And I'm walking through the paddock, right? And everyone will look at you, and for a second, they look you up and down and go, Amos, maybe, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then there's this moment where they're like, nah, he's trash. Just like that's the best moments when they're like, hey, no, and then you just evaporate.
That's why I'm gonna give this. I mean, I will give him a 91% that he crushed it, because that's basically what happened. Is that he realized, wait a minute, this famous guy, not even nearly as famous as the guy that I hoped he would be, and I feel like that's representative of the entire dynamic of the paddock ecosystem.
50% for me, I guess. I don't know why. I guess we're talking about it. We're not talking about any of his other paddock interviews, but still. You're a journalist. You don't want that to be like, I'm sure that he's not happy with that. He wants to have an interview where he gets some great revelation. He wants to ask the perfect question.
He doesn't want to get whatever and then walk off.
He wants Paolo Mahomes to tell him where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. Like, that's what he is looking for. That's all journalists are looking for, the big breakthrough, not that.
That's right. Where is Jimmy Hoffa? People are still asking this question.
Didn't that movie The Irishman settle that?
Not where he is, but what happened. Yeah.
I fell asleep like halfway through.
Man, that thing was like 6 hours.
It's like a 7 hour movie.
Robert De Niro was so old looking anyway.
I know that we like not having to go to the movies and we like streaming and all that stuff. But one of the byproducts of streaming is that there's no time limits on these artists in their movies anymore. It's like back in the day, you'd have to make it like 2 hours so they could get in a bunch of play-ins. Now it's like, we're streaming 18 hours. Why not? Let's make it a whole series. Should have been a movie.
Speaking of fine cinema.
Good to hear. Nice to talk to you, actually. We hope to... This is a man called DJ Khaled, so we'll have a quick word with him and talk to him soon. DJ Khaled, Martin Brundle, Sky F1.
Everything good? We in Miami. This is my home, the best city in the world, and the whole world is here for this beautiful event. F1, family, fun, good energy, superstars, icons.
They didn't want us here at F1, but what?
God did. That's right. D-Ray, what's up, brother?
My guy, love.
Okay, I'm not going to add any words to that. Beautifully summed up, sir.
Promo, another one.
DJ Khaled is so like, is there anybody who thrives more in the circumstance of microphone has suddenly appeared in front of my face? I have no idea who I'm talking to than that guy who's just like,
that's because
I have
he has
10
he
things
has,
I'm going to rotate.
Yeah, he's a like, remember those toys used to pull a string in the back and they had like five phrases?
That's DJ Khaled. Teddy Ruxpin of another one.
Teddy Ruxpin, like, you put a tape in the back. I used to put Ghetto Boys in the back of it and watch Teddy.
Ooh, that was
spit
a good one.
Fire.
You could hack your Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah, it wasn't a hack.
You just put another tape in so that like you would lip sync to NWA. That's what we used to do. We put NWA in there.
Yeah,
by the way, this is Martin Brundle every week, right? They throw him out of a plane with no chute and just out there to get stuff. At the risk of fact checking DJ Khaled, it's like, they didn't want us here. They invited me. They don't just let people out on the grid. They said, we want you here at this race, okay? Do you know how hard it is to get out there? They didn't want us out there, which is why they gave you a credential.
Like the number one seed saying nobody believed in us, DJ Khaled is.
Nobody wanted us here, as I'm here with Dwayne Wade.
Yes, we're not supposed to be here. But also, you asked me to be interviewed here in my hometown where you moved the race. Right. So Spencer, we're putting down for a hundo on this one then?
I'm going to say this, 100%. Martin Brundle has one of the toughest jobs in broadcast television. And every week he crushes it. Crushing can mean a lot of different things.
A lesson that we live every day on this fake television show where we debate nothing, Alabaster. So do you want to go back to the thing we were talking about before we
I do but before we do light. I do want to read you Martin Brundle's tweet from yesterday, which said there's a reason why I've never watched back an F1 grid walk in a quarter century of doing them. I have no idea how much I dislike doing them, but somehow those crazy moments have defined my professional career. Confused face emoji. Oh well, that's the way it is.
The Dominique Foxworth approach to doing television. Dominique doesn't watch this show.
Oh, I was confused. I was going to say, I actually don't think I have very many embarrassing moments. Thank you very much, Pablo. But yeah.
Not true. You forgot how old you were one time on Highly Questionable. But anyway.
Not embarrassing.
Get back to.
I wasn't embarrassed. Get back. I'm sorry. I looked at myself and I looked 2 years younger.
Not be proud of me.
I don't age, baby.
Be proud of me.
I looked up and was like, damn. That Martin guy's
Brundle,
35.
Sky Sports. How old are you, Dominique Foxworth?
I mean, age ain't nothing but a number. How old do I look, Martin? Sexy as
Teddy
my
Ruxpin, as Teddy Ruxpin once said, age ain't nothing but a number.
All right. Ready to go back to some NBA playoffs?
Let's do it.
All right. Next question.
Inflection sometimes. They insult me. They just make me angry. Your voice inflection sometimes.
That sounds like some sour grapes, which brings us to other sour grapes. Look at that segue. Oh, is it just sour grapes from John Morant by saying Jordan Poole broke the code?
First of all, let's discuss your segue. You can't throw a self alley. Sounds like sour grapes. Speaking of sour grapes, nope. You say your segue right off of whatever I said last, so I'm giving you zero on that one. Mm. As for broke the code,
hold on. I'm calling a technical foul on that one, Dominique.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay.
The self alley oop. No, he threw it off the backboard to himself. He Giannis that one. I believe that's well within bounds. Mm. Far be it from any. I mean, come on.
Okay. All right. We don't have to argue it. Spencer, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm giving thumbs down.
Yes. Come on. Moving on. We win. Yeah. Okay. The foul, I mean, it was stupid. And him saying broke the code was stupid. But, I mean, it's making them more interesting and aggressive. Like, obviously, there's no reason to believe that there was some code broken here. I don't think. I mean, the code we're talking about is putting someone at risk, intentionally putting someone at risk. Like, he slapped his knee as he was slapping for the ball. Like, it didn't seem.
Yeah, Jordan Poole grabbing for the ball. They're trapping him. And Ja Morant's right knee, which he's had, like, issues with all year, turns out to be the thing that caused him to leave the game early. And I guess the code, you know, this is also a thing that Steve Kerr mentioned, obviously, because Gary Payton II, not Junior, as we've established very exhaustively. Very different people, although very close in age.
Genetics.
Like this was the Dylan Brooks foul thing, you know, blah, 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 blah. But the point is now that the Grizzlies are mad and they're demanding a suspension, Spencer, but they're not getting it because the NBA looked at this and they're like, looks very kind of normal to us.
How strong do we think Jordan Poole is? Like, what do you think he's putting up in the gym where, like, a knee slap is going to cripple a man? That's, like, if Jordan Poole could do that, like, I love Ja Morant. I am a Grizzlies fan. I really do want to believe that there's a massive conspiracy to take him out of the game. If you can slap a man and destroy his knee, right, then you shouldn't be playing basketball. You should be an asset of the United States government, right?
Have you guys seen those like one punch videos, like those guys, like the kung fu guys, where it's just like you're playing the Ja Morant video? Yeah, there it is. It's just like
if that's true, then if that's true, Jordan Poole is one punch man, right? Like he is one punch man,
pretty much.
I don't think this is. Although this is going back to. Can we find motivation wherever we get it?
That's right.
They didn't want us here.
Is this so? We talked much about this whole season about how the Grizzlies are surprisingly good without their best player. So is the series over, or are they going to be surprisingly good without their best player at full strength?
That feels over. I mean, I know they're like 20-5 Alabaster, right? The Grizzlies are without John Morant, but in the postseason, this does feel like where the cliche of like the regular season is very different from the postseason comes true, right? Like John Morant was averaging like what 35 and like 7-7 or something like that. Like if you watch them play, you know, even if Dylan Brooks was playing, like they're not. Desmond Bane, ironically, given his name, has a back injury. Like there's all sorts of stuff that's going wrong for the Grizzlies right now. And Jordan Poole, by the way, like part of the reason why Taylor Jenkins is like getting fined thousands of dollars to demand for suspensions that will never come is because Jordan Poole is averaging like 30 in this series. Yeah. Yeah. He's saying, you know, he grabbed his knee and yanked it. That's why he's hurt, which is, you know, good luck proving that.
It feels more like that the Grizzlies are running out of bodies. That's really at this point that injuries are going to go up. Although I think maybe they've got another, like the Warriors shot the lights out, right? In the last game.
141 points, I believe. 141, 142, like the second most points ever in postseason history for that team.
Yeah, you might get a game where they regress a little bit in terms of just, you know, like they can't shoot that well again.
They needed 47 points from Ja to win a game in this series. Don't think they're going, even with the regression in that game, they still were within striking distance. Like that wasn't a blowout. It was a close game at the end. Now with Ja not playing or Ja hobbled, I don't think he can get you 47. So I think it doesn't matter at this point, which is sad because this series, like it was shaping up to be a fun competitive one. And
yes,
now it ain't.
Ja, because of Ja specifically, I just like watching him drop 34, then 47, then 34, even in this game before leaving with like, you know, a bunch of time left, Alabaster. I mean, are we being simplistic here? Because it just feels like, oh, this is how you overcome the Gary Payton II, not Junior injury is. The guy he's supposed to guard also incidentally and coincidentally is out for a game or three.
Honestly, it feels like even if John Morant was playing, just a regression to the Warriors shooting, this was going to be a series that ended quicker than we thought. Just because, you know, there are limitations on young basketball teams, and the Warriors are really, really good, and it's easier for them to score.
Good job, Coach.
Oh, wait, Dominique, the inflection there, I didn't like that either.
Yeah, I felt it. I felt it too.
I didn't like that inflection.
It's so right, Tony.
I'll give you a
so
take. Much tone. Dubs in five. There you go.
There we go. God. No, by the way, this is all part of a conspiracy to stunt the natural greatness of Memphis as a city, as a franchise. Again, trying back.
We were so close to getting like the Fox News news cycle about Whoop That Trick. Are you aware what's being chanted at NBA games during the finals? And they play the video and they have to bring on an expert.
Oh, they got to show little white kids in the crowd going like this. We have to save our children. We have to save our children.
Holding rapping Teddy Ruxpins. Look at the corruption of our youth. Look at it.
I don't know. I feel like the hyper masculinity or toxic masculinity that is in that song feels like it might resonate. They might like that. They might be like, that's what we're talking about. They're not sneaking homosexuals into our cartoons. We're good.
You want a real
whoop that trick.
That, you know what? That was a footnote in the league Supreme Court draft. It was to whoop that trick.
Yeah, you know, if you want an example, a paragon of proper masculinity, Grizz, a mascot who will go through tables to entertain, right? A true American icon. I will say, not enough people talk about this. If that song's going and then Grizz jumps off of the mezzanine and goes through a table, as that song is playing in FedEx, one of the greatest things in sports.
God bless who's ever in that suit, by the way.
It has to be a team of people, right? They're just like cycling them through.
I would hope it was somebody with really good health insurance.
Yeah.
Based on some of the things that Grizz
doubtful.
Does.
Doubtful.
Yeah.
Doubtful.
Yeah.
Good health insurance is expensive.
He's definitely also getting whooped.
Yes. And men willing to put on costumes and jump from high altitudes. Not that hard to find, surprisingly.
Is that the NBA mascot with hands? Just a question. Like, you know, maybe for another day. Just think about the NBA mascot who's probably actually got hands. Grizz, that's a top five draft pick for me.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. Put it on the list, Alabaster.
Yeah, the King Cake baby, maybe. Well, that's just the scariest one.
No.
Does the King Cake Baby have hands? Yeah. Today, undebatable.
Anything worse than getting whooped by the King Cake Baby? Like if King Cake Baby put you down on an Instagram video? Oh, that'd be the worst.
Oh, man. You need to put that on the list too, Alabaster, for a slow news day. Now we have a long list of topics that we can discuss.
We also got to debate. We got to work in the recurring segment, which we forgot about implementing, but like who's the happiest in sports today?
Oh,
that's another great idea we had before.
Yes, yes. Like the morning after.
James Harden right now. Today,
who's waking up this morning and is happy. And I think James Harden is the happiest athlete the morning after, right? There was a lot of sports yesterday, though.
Yeah. That Formula One guy won something.
Won 5-0. Mm-hmm. They're in a close race with Liverpool. That was fun.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think
the segment's going great, huh?
Grealish.
Yeah, great. Oh, God.
Grealish. Ederson. He'd be keeping some goals, boy. That man be keeping goals.
We could rename this segment. Let's just think about things to list off.
You're too, man. Like, I don't know.
Can I admit something? I was so gun-shy giving a take about Ja Morant because of how badly I botched it last week that sarcasm is what I'm falling back on.
Wow.
You have been, like, conspicuously absent from this segment considering how far – you won't even put up a tangent card. We are way off. We're talking about –
My tiny Alabaster hands are actually shaking.
Alabaster, let's bring you back into the fold here.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're talking bounce back. Like they had a real tough loss in the Champions League.
I got a segue.
Okay.
Given that I'm very Alabaster, I'm very interested in this Celtics series. And my question to you is, what does it tell you that the Celtics played the Bucks so closely with that form of performance from Jason Tatum?
Jason Tatum is not good right now. He had 10 points in this game, right? It was like 4 of a bazillion from the field. Yeah, and the story of this game is twofold, I suppose. It's Tatum, being 4 of 19, 0 for 6 from 3, just helpless after being the guy who snatched the crown from Kevin Durant's head, allegedly. And I guess was the person who alleged that, arguably, in the last series. Mm-hmm. But now it's him on one side and Giannis on the other. And the whole thing of like, Giannis will figure that out. That's what Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Bucks, said. Yeah, he did. He basically did.
He didn't figure it out. Like, I mean, Pablo, you're a wordsmith. You're very good with words. He did not figure it out. He just turned up the volume. Like, figuring out suggests you move some things around. It suggests some tactical things. Like, that wasn't what he did. He just went harder. He did the same stuff he was doing in the earlier games. He just did it with more ferocity and also some jiggle on the sideline, which I thought
there was some great jiggle.
This is my favorite kind of player, by the way. Zero enormous jiggle. Other than go harder. That's it. Do more. Go harder. Yes, that.
Oh, gosh. Mm.
Yeah, I love – by the way, we're wondering why, Tatum is struggling. I'm like, I don't know. Do you run into a truck? That's what you do when you play Giannis. You're just running into a truck. Like, even a glancing blow from that dude can send you halfway across the floor. He's just a monster. Watching him learn how to play basketball in real time over, like, the last 6 years has just been massive.
They were, like,
42 for Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis, it's not fair. We're not going to give him – like, we've become accustomed to how great he is. Like, he shot great from the free throw line, too, which was impressive. But the thing that hangs over my head for them is like, when are they going to get Middleton back and what kind of Middleton are they going to get? Because they were putting Drew Holiday in isolation to take some of the pressure off of Giannis. And I was like, nah, like he was making some shots, but nah, it didn't feel
it was
great.
11 for 30.
It didn't
which
feel
is not
great.
The game that you want Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Play.
Some of them went in and some of them look like they went in by mistake. And some of them seem intentional. But overall, I didn't feel comfortable. And Giannis cannot carry this load presumably in the Eastern Conference Finals. Certainly not in the Finals. And that was that's a big question mark for me. And I guess the Tatum thing, I don't know. I don't expect the Celtics to win. I expect the Bucks to win. So I have less, expectations of the Celtics. But Tatum's getting off a little easy, I would say, given – after last round, we were saying he's the next Kevin Durant.
Well,
those idiots who said that.
Can't do that.
Whoever that moron was, he said that.
I mean, who are they playing? This is really all about laughing at the Nets a little bit more. That's what this is. Like, if the Bucks just absolutely take Boston to the trash, then they are, by extension, taking the Nets out twice. That's the way I choose to look at this, is I can laugh at another super team, and I will choose to do so.
Yeah. The end of this game, by the way, Albus, I want to do a little bit of justice to that, because it was kind of – so, you know, Marcus Smart, who is one of the great floppers of all time, right? Or, sorry, one of the great shot create foul artists.
Free throw creators.
Savvy veteran leadership.
That's right. Farm to table organic cheater. What he did, he tried to draw a three-shot foul. He was flailing around. Drew Holiday fouls him. The refs are like, we've seen this movie before. That is a two-shot foul. That is a rip-through move. That is a thing Chris Paul got us with for years. We're not going to reward that. And that's enough of a thing that sort of stuck in the craw of everybody in Boston. But Marcus Smart at the free throw line, right? Makes the first one. The second one, I have never seen it executed so well. The whole, just intentionally missed the second shot. Yeah. Yo, that dude. I mean, that was art.
It was.
Two-hand push off the backboard, glancing off the rim. He gets his own rebound. He misses it. Al Horford gets the rebound, puts it back, and it goes in. But the shot, the whole game clock expires thing, my God.
How many misses were there? There was only one miss. Why do I remember more misses? I feel like there were more.
Like four misses. In the last, okay. Like five.
That's what I thought. You talk about art. That was beautiful. It was just like impressive how they could be so close and no one could get it in.
Again, that's too late. That's what I want out of NBA playoff basketball. I want it to come down to officiating. I want somebody to fill out paperwork, submit that paperwork.
That's right.
Have it approved by an official, and that to me is sports.
If there isn't a notary public involved in your post-game press conference, I don't want to hear from you.
Correct.
Gosh. Agreed.
So I think there is a place for Celtics fans to look at this. And as you just framed it, Pablo, is their best player was terrible. And the only reason why they lost was because of some real poor officiating at the end. Like, you can't say that they should have won, but you know for sure that the officiating, I know it's a rip through, and maybe you shouldn't call it, but it certainly looked like a three-shot foul to me. It was well executed, and then also they had the ball at point blank range, and no one could put it in. Like, you can still construct a confident story if you're a Alabaster and you're rooting for the Celtics tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I really like the Celtics, and I don't know why. It upsets me. I'm not supposed to like the Celtics, but it's something about Ime Udoka and the guys they put out there. Handsome. I really like them.
Again, I'll just pick up the hateration for you here, okay? That's a lot of cope. If you need to take that much cope to get through this, good luck, Boston. I have no pity or love for you. Enjoy
snorting,
it.
Snorting lines and lines of cope. Do you smoke cope?
Ooh, what does it become then?
can I put it in my donkeys in my quap. Coffee?
Croc.
God. Crop. Crack.
No. Crap.
Crap.
It's what's for dinner in Boston. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. If you cook cope, it has to turn into crope.
Crope. That's it. That right? Nailed it. Right, Alabaster nailed the dismount.
Right on the end.
I have one thing. I have a cherry on top of the cope for you guys, and that is this photo. I think we improved it.
Oh. The jeans look so much better.
Now
they look so much better.
They fit better on and everything. That's looks like a better fade than me.
So handsome. That's amazing. Yeah. All the people love him, Pablo. I don't know what they'd say if you walked around the F1, but all the people working with Gary.
They love Gary.
He's very personable. I don't know him, but TikTok. Anytime I see him, I'm like, hey, that guy looks fun to hang out with.
King of Snapchat, man. King of Snapchat. You got to get on that, Pablo.